Hey, look, guess what color I'm wearing? It's called Two-Face.
I know somebody just like that.
Laguna Beach, Season 1, Episode 4, 18 Candles. Look how cute my present is!
This is Coming Clean, a podcast about the real Orange County, with your hosts, Sam and Marty.
Hello, welcome to the number two ranked podcast. When you search for the very specific MTV Laguna Beach podcast on Google.
And the number two podcast when you search Coming Clean on Audio Boom.
They're number two on Audio Boom for Coming Clean?
Yeah, the other podcast I think is about like coming clean of your sins and stuff. So. Oh.
Well, we're cooler, but yeah, welcome to the Coming Clean. Welcome to the Coming Clean podcast. I'm Marty,
and I'm Sam.
How are you doing today, man?
Doing all right. It's been a busy couple weeks. You know, beginning of the year, trying to get the body right, mind right.
Yep.
How you been doing?
Not bad. I'm settling down right now. Coming home from work, drinking a shake. That I got the recipe off of laurenconrad.com. It's a nice green meal replacement shake. Lots of kale. Oh, nice. Lots of kale flavor.
And what else is in there? Any peanut butter?
No. The protein that I used was egg.
Nice.
And also some almond milk.
Ooh.
And some powdery stuff.
Oh, magic powder?
I guess. I don't know. Well, it's the green stuff.
It's called sugar.
No, it tastes like plant.
Okay.
All right. But yeah, drinking that, so feeling good, and got even better news yesterday when I saw that thank you to our friends at Audio Boom for featuring our latest episode, or last week's episode, episode 3.
Yeah, that was great news. I had no idea, and it's great to see that we're trying to get some traction going and get some support out there.
Yeah, so again, thank you, Audio Boom, and for everyone who's been listening so far, thank you very much for liking, commenting, subscribing, all that good stuff. Please keep doing that, and we're just going to keep this community going and keep bringing some hard-hitting content. All right, so, you know what? There's a lot to go through this week. I think we should dive straight into the episode, and let's start off with a synopsis.
When Morgan throws Christina an 18th birthday bash, she cuts Elsie and Ilo from the guest list, so bumping into them the next day at the nail salon was sweet irony. Christina and Morgan then go to NYC for their spring break trip. While Morgan takes in the big city fashion, Christina is challenged by the audition of a lifetime.
Ooh, and what an audition it was.
Yeah, it was... I think that's what most auditions aspire to be,
mm-hmm.
or possibly inspired by that.
Maybe.
I certainly was. I thought that, you know, if Christina could really come from the West Coast over the East Coast, try making it up on Broadway with some help of her parents.
That's the dream. Get your connections.
Maybe I'll go to a couple singing classes, and why can't I be up there?
I mean, if she did it, anyone can. But we'll talk about that more later. But yeah, I think the long and the short of it is heavy on Morgan and Christina, who we actually were missing last week.
Yeah, I think you brought it up in saying just no mention of these certain plot lines that we got a little taste of before.
Yep.
Morgan is kind of, I think she's finally coming back from her rejection to BYU.
Yep.
And Christina's still flying high from her, you know, getting into SMU.
Yeah.
So there's a nice dynamic here, and I think they will, you know, for timing wise, it seems like it's been so much longer because we space it out every week, but it's only been like 2 days, 3 days since the last time we saw them.
True. But yeah, we can dive into this episode. We're just going to take a quick music break, so here's some really cool music.
welcome back.
All right.
We're coming in hot and coming in fast.
All right. You know what? Let's kick it straight off. So I think the biggest takeaway here from this episode is a new rivalry between Elsie and Lo and Christina and Morgan. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call it a rivalry.
Just drama. Just some drama.
Yeah.
Some drums.
It's more of like the A-listers versus the B-listers. And from what I've heard, I mean, I never really got into this drama, but it's a lot of times the B-listers are a little more catty than the A-listers. Whew. In that sense, you know, the B-listers are always trying to knock off the top dogs. And unfortunately, I don't think Christina and Morgan actually did that in this episode.
All right.
Yeah, no, I was just saying Christina and Morgan are the B-listers. Unless you have another opinion there.
Well, I mean, I get it in theory, of course. But I think once we get into talking about Christina's birthday party in a little bit, I think I can flip that somewhat. But my real question is, how did this start? They never really set it up properly. It was just a quick, from Morgan, they forgot to invite us to their birthdays, and then from Elsie telling Lo that one of Morgan and Christina told her that they like Elsie better when she's not with her friends, aka Lo.
Yep. And then I think we also got, they were saying...
Is that it? Is that the root of everything? Just some, like, hearsay?
Yeah, and that, well, that's high school. It's kind of one little seed of gossip kind of blossoms.
Right.
But also they were saying they were already kind of growing apart to begin with, yep. And they hadn't really been hanging out.
Right.
But they just had the black and white affair.
Yeah.
So now the timeline of the show kind of gets me a little nervous of like how this is going down.
Right.
But
yeah, it seems rushed. Yeah, because just 3 episodes ago they were planning the party of the year, and then now. So
maybe, like, that's what's weird is because they always talk about the bonfire. So, and the bonfire was after the affair. So now I'm thinking maybe the black and white affair was late, like at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that all this stuff is like a flashback to prior.
Huh.
Which, I mean, just for editing purposes, like they could do it any way they want.
Right.
And then if that's the case, if they are not friends at the beginning of the year, and then maybe at the end you kind of all get back together as friends in high school, like everybody kind of just buries the hatchet because you're like, I'll never see these people again other than every Thanksgiving or Christmas when you head back home.
Right. I'm just very confused of how this all started, and it just escalated very quickly.
Oh, yeah. It all happened in a single nail salon.
Yeah, well, before that, I'm realizing that things really escalate or drama comes out whenever they hit up Laguna Beach's Sephora.
Yeah.
That's like the go-to spot for drama to start sprouting from Elsie.
Or any makeup, like when they went to MAC, you know, the drama started with them not having or planning to go to sushi or,
right.
You know, it's just it's the hotbed, you know.
I don't know, for us guys, I don't know where the drama comes out, maybe at like a bar somewhere, but maybe for
high school girls. Well, at 18, we're not going to the bar.
Oh, true. I keep forgetting. Yeah, so like, at the Sonic.
Or like the Champs.
The sports store?
Yeah, I think Champs would have been pretty crazy.
All right, either one. But yeah, so we got all this drama of them not being invited to Christina's party. Because they're upset that they weren't invited to Elsie and Lo's birthday parties. So we have that going on. Party happens. And then
Before you get into that, would you be upset if you didn't get invited to somebody's birthday party and you guys thought you were friends?
Yes, I would have. But I probably would not have been super passive aggressive as to invite everyone in town except for them. To my birthday.
and like all juniors.
Yes.
Like Christina and Morgan are seniors in that whole party, which, as you know, podcast lingo, always leave people hanging, but we'll get to that coming up. But yeah, is there no other senior girls around? Like, I don't know. We'll get into that, but it just seemed weird.
Yeah. But yeah, so party happens, and next day we have our very awkward encounter at the nail salon.
Yeah, that was hard. That was like a hard 10 minutes to watch.
Yeah. Oh, so Elsie just cannot hide. Like, you could see in her face that she was upset about something.
Oh, when she walked in?
Yeah, she was just not... If she was trying to hide it, she was not very good, but I felt her, like, staring a hole through me through this camera.
And then, and I love how Lo is basically the enforcer and just battling, like, battling wits with Christina back and forth.
I will say the shade Christina threw, because she absolutely knew that Lo did not get into USC.
Yeah.
And to just throw that out there before you walk out the door, be like, hey, you get into SC? Ooh, cold.
Yeah. And did she even pay? Like, do you pay up front at a nail salon? Because she kind of just ghosted right out of there.
I mean, maybe Morgan paid. I don't know.
Well,
maybe they did prepay.
Yeah. Do you prepay for a service? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Well, we'll test it out. We'll put it on our website. But I was thinking about this when you kind of brought up this topic, that I was kind of comparing, like, Elsie and Lo are, for me, are like kind of like a Batman and Robin. Elsie's like definitely the Batman. I mean, they're both equals, but Lo is like, you know, kind of the sidekick, best friend.
Right.
And I was trying to think of like what Christina and Morgan are. And I couldn't really think of another great duo. But I came up with, because I didn't really like them as a tag team, I was more of an Elsie and Lo fan. And that I said that Christina and Morgan were like Aquaman and the, just the fish.
Which is which?
Yeah, take it or leave it.
All right, to quote, to that point, to quote my friend Mary Alice, who will be joining us in one of these episodes, so shout out to MA, who said, when we were chatting about this episode, she said, why did they cast Christina and Morgan? Because they're the exact same person. It's confusing. Why wouldn't they try to get a little variety?
Yeah, but that's why they're perfect together.
See, again, that's my issue. They could have casted one of them and then have the other one be in the Polster role, be like Christina's friend or Morgan's friend, and have Polster be a more prominent character.
Yeah. Well, they both have, I mean, they said they both are like so in love with each other, and they're both the versions of the school, the only ones left.
Yep.
They both have morals.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of perfect together. And in that sense, I don't know, I kind of, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But just seeing it, but just seeing like people's conversations and like about that topic, it's like, come on, you know, you're on your high horse. Can you knock it off?
Well, yeah, I mean, at least they're staying true to themselves. I'll give them that.
Okay.
All right. Anything else about this drama that's happening between these two factions?
I mean, I'm hoping for more.
I am too, actually.
The tension was great for the episode, even though how it was just very awkward.
Yep, I really hope they follow through and just, like, even if they just keep Morgan and Christina in the background to serve as, like, the party pooper role.
Yeah.
I want to see that, or at least have Lo get into it with them. I don't, obviously this all happened, so people who remember the show better than I do will be able to tell us, but please don't spoil it for us.
Yeah, I don't want talk anymore, I want action.
So you're saying you want them to come to blows?
Or, I don't know, like a prank war or something.
Oh. That'd
be pretty sweet.
Well, yeah, so far it's been fairly passive-aggressive, and thank you to the producers of Laguna Beach for setting up that nail salon scene.
Oh, yeah, it was perfectly written,
mm-hmm.
even though everything is real. That happened in real life, but...
Yeah, so I think we can move on to really the star of the episode, Christina, who celebrated her 18th birthday and had her party at Joe's Crab Shack. And you know what? I did not know that shit goes down at the shack. I'll bleep that out later. But that was, like, the most lit Joe's Crab Shack I've seen in my life, and I've seen, like, one.
And I've never been to a Joe's Crab Shack.
They used to be my client at my former job.
Yeah, and it seemed like, I mean, there's one in Jersey. I might have to make a commute out there.
Mm-hmm. That's where we took all the pictures for.
You guys
yeah.
It's just like seafood, though. It's like a Red Lobster.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it turns into a club when it's your birthday.
I guess so.
Like, and who's making the balloon hats?
Right.
Those were floating around. Is that at Joe's Crab Shack? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's like a runner for MTV. I don't know. Maybe, yeah, but maybe they made a reservation at Joe's Crab Shack and been like, we want the party of the cinch at your shack.
Maybe, yeah. We're bringing like 10 girls, no parents.
First, none of us first, can drink.
Yeah, first no parents party ever.
Okay, so they have the Joe's Crab Shack party. I'm just now thinking back to, they could have done it again, do it at one of your bomb-ass houses, or now the hotel looks like a better option, even though that was like the saddest party I've ever seen broadcasted yeah. on television. Not counting the Democratic Party, am I right? No respect.
Terrible timing, terrible timing.
Yep. All right, moving on. So yeah, so she has her party. It goes wild at Joe's Crab Shack. And to go back to your point about Morgan and Christina being in the B-list, why are they hanging out with A-list Kristen then? Unless you don't consider Kristen in the A-list.
No, I do. But Christina and Morgan are hanging out with all juniors.
Right. And so I thought they didn't like Kristen either, just based on the black and white party.
Yeah. Because they were friends with LC and Lo, like you had a side with your friends.
Yes.
Now they're backstabbing their original group to hang out with lower classmen, which in some worlds, you know, seniors, like, I mean, seniors can hang out with juniors, but
you know, I had a problem with that.
Yeah, you do. It's a class system.
Mm-hmm.
And the seniors, like that whole party was basically, it was a junior's party. So right. To bring up your point is that, yeah, Kristen is an A-list, but she's still a junior.
Okay.
Which you're like, it's an A sub one or A sub B or whatever. Like you're still popular, but you're just not the top dog.
Top dog, yeah.
Yeah.
The queen bee, as they say.
Yeah. I mean, and she controlled that party. She was getting numbers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was getting numbers from, I don't know, 25-year-olds or guy who was over 21.
Yep.
That.
Get giant swole guy.
Yeah. Respect.
Yeah, that guy was like already auditioning for the Jersey Shore, I think.
But do we make fun of that guy for like, I mean, I guess she's 18, but like.
Wait, is Kristen 18 though? She's a junior.
Yeah, she must have been 18, 17. I think she said she was 21, joking. But
Yeah, that was weird, and hopefully we see more of this guy, or maybe not hopefully, I don't know what his deal is.
There's no way he's circling, he's coming back around.
Just a random, I mean, he signed the release.
True, maybe he was hoping, you know, get that paycheck.
Yeah, okay, I have a question for you. So going back to the party invites.
Yep.
And I'm also realizing, just as a really quick sidebar, invitations are kind of a big deal in this town, huh?
Yeah.
Second time an invitation's been a major part of the storyline. But anyway, so for invitations, no Lo and LC, but yes to Kristen. Do you think they did that out of spite?
I don't think so. So this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that these popular senior girls and the popular junior girls all have been basically co-mingling at the Black Wedding Fair and at other parties just because juniors are dating seniors
right.
and then the girls are all hanging out with their senior buddies.
Right.
I think they probably could have just become friends
mm-hmm.
and were like, hey, like maybe we do have a good time with these juniors and just like invited them along or to go to the party.
Right.
And from what I can see, there is only like four senior girls that we know of.
Yeah, because the rest are the guys, and which is what was confusing me, because the one link between the juniors and the seniors was not at the party, which is Steven.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very, very confusing on who's friends with whom and who's why people are getting invited and others aren't.
Yeah, and I don't think we'll ever know.
All right, we'll do our best to get one of these people on the podcast and we can ask them directly. Just yeah. Be like, Morgan, why do you straight up ghost LC?
Yeah, well, why was there beef?
Yeah. But yeah, I do want to know. And if anyone knows, again, if anyone's in the know or has a theory about what started this beef, let us know at Coming Clean Pod on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, etc. But yeah, I don't know. How did you celebrate your 18th birthday? Was it as crazy as this one?
I probably celebrated with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
When was this? August? My birthday? I actually have no idea what I did. I probably did absolutely nothing. Had a peanut butter and chocolate cake.
Nice.
And yeah, I don't really. Hey, come on, man.
Not a sponsor.
I'm like upset now.
Oh. Hey, man, I moved to Minnesota. I learned the lingo. Sorry.
Charlie Conway.
Go on.
No, yeah, I don't know. I don't really do parties. Did you ever have parties?
I don't think so. I may have also just hung out with my mom and our dog or something. I don't know. I don't remember. It was definitely not memorable enough, and we didn't have a Joe's Crab Shack in Gallup, New Mexico. So.
No, if I was going to go anywhere, I probably would have went to, like, the 99, which I think is just a kind of local northeast place, but.
Yeah, we probably, like, went out to, like, Carl's Jr. or something, got a burger. I don't remember.
it's too long ago. It's like 10 years ago.
I mean, if I'm judging just based on what a typical, I'm assuming it was a weekday night. Yeah, we probably got fast food and then watched wrestling. That was a good birthday.
Just have your mom questioning like what is going on.
Yeah, and you know what? I was trying to bait you into giving me a good segue, because speaking of parents questioning us, ooh, Elsie's grades.
Nice. Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, I wasn't in the same situation, but...
Me neither.
My senior year, I took AP US History, and that was a hell of a time. That was rough.
Yeah, I mean, I knew I could cruise, but also I'm like... I've established I'm pretty irrationally competitive, so I just had to have the highest grades in class and, like, rub it in everyone's faces. So I definitely didn't cruise. I definitely took more, like, TA periods when I knew I had enough credits to graduate, so I had, like, two classes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I guess our point here is it's sort of impossible if... I don't know, if you're, like, even a semi-decent student to be... getting D's and F's second semester of senior year.
Yeah. Like what was her grades to begin with?
Right. Okay. This is me probably misreading someone again, but I thought she was going to be like the straight A student.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but I thought Kristen was going to be the C's get degrees one.
Yeah. And turns out LC is a degenerate.
Oh, that's a strong word, but I mean, she was acting like one for, well, she was getting D's, so D's for degenerate. There you go. That's how I'm connecting that.
Maybe she was just thinking about Steven too much, which all of us probably have that issue, so.
But I mean, how chill are her parents where they were like, just C for cruise. You can cruise, just get your C's.
Yeah, Jim, they're just like, just graduate. I don't care. Just. I think he just wanted her out of the house.
His new house.
Yeah, his new house with his palm trees and beautiful boats or pools or whatever he had.
Yeah, but yeah, those are like the chillest parents when it comes to grades. When the only thing your parents are asking is like, just don't get Fs, please, for one semester. Yeah. I think that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, and I mean, I loved how he called it jail. Like, you're in jail.
Yeah.
Like, you're not grounded.
Yep.
You're in lockdown.
Right. Yep.
Smart. Good parenting.
Yeah, I would agree. That was a good move by Mr. C and Mrs. C. And okay, let's talk about her grounding for a little bit. And I want to call this little section the lowdown.
The lowdown. Oh.
Low, low, deep down low.
So low.
All right. And this is where we talk about low, because I know we went at her hard a couple of episodes ago for not being the nicest friend when it came to Trey.
Mm-hmm.
And in this episode,
we got a lot of low. We got a lot of low to sift through.
Yeah, I'm gonna say my verdict of my lowdown on low is she was down low and she did not redeem herself. So she low is low for me. Low is down, down
low.
See, if we were starting at like on a scale of like 1 to 10, and mm-hmm. she starts off at a 5.
Yep.
I would have her still at 5.
Okay, so
So she had some good moments, and then she also had some bad moments.
I think that's what made it worse for me.
Okay, that she it kind of like flip flops. It's not like a constant high. Because in my mind, maybe I'm just thinking about the hills, but like I thought she was like always a great character, super right. nice. Yep. Like,
yeah,
because awesome.
I know like everyone in our apartment loved Lo. She was like all of our favorites. So,
and then seeing back now, I was like, wow, she's kind of catty.
Yep.
A lot of people don't like her.
Yep.
Maybe a bad influence.
Yeah, and I think the worst part for me was when she was joking around with Jim and telling him that, hey, let Elsie come out with me.
Yep.
And he was like, haha, no. And then she just throws Elsie under the bus.
I mean,
like on a dime.
I wasn't going to blame her on that one. Because
stand your ground.
No, because
I would have been fine with it if it was in like a ball busting way. But it didn't feel like it was like a chops busting way. But it didn't feel like she was busting Elsie's chops on that one. It felt like she would threw Elsie under the bus.
Well, I would have done the same thing. No. So first of all, the notes I had were one. When she was explaining why Elsie should be able to go and grades, when she was like, grades don't reflect who she is, she's a good person, I was like, wow, she should be a lawyer. Great. That was a great analysis and breaking down of those points. And then when like parents start getting involved, when you're at like, it's always awkward when you're at a friend's house and they're getting yelled at by like their parents and you just sit there in like silence.
Yep.
And then if they ask you your opinion, like, I don't know. I usually side with the parents because, one, they're probably more rational than my 18-year-old brain.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would have too, but I would have been okay, like... No. Okay, hold on. Let me lawyer this.
Okay. You're going to lower this?
Yes, I guess. Sure.
Lawyerist this?
All right, we're going to need another Badim Tao for that one, I guess. But, okay. So, she's like joking around with the parents, right?
Yeah.
Getting the feel for that. And then, yeah, when it comes to the situation where the parents are like, hey, what do you think? Or something like that. I would have also sided with the parents, but I think her execution was bad. And that she sounded a lot more serious than she should have been. I would have been like, well, that's what you get for effing up in school. That's just,
yeah.
I would have delivered it a little more jokey just to,
you think she was just too serious of being like, when like Elsie was like, Lo, what the hell? And she's like, well, you're doing bad in school.
Like, yeah. Don't pile on is.
Yeah. Okay. I get you.
Yeah. So, you know, a down low grade for the low down on low from Marty. Sorry.
I still have high hopes for her. I think
same.
We'll see. I don't believe she'll be in the next episode because it's the Cabo episode, and she said she wasn't going to Cabo.
Yep.
But we will see. I'm going to leave it open. This is a sliding scale that we created for the low down.
We got a lot of scales and theories and etc. going, so I hope y'all can keep up.
Well,
I hope we can keep up too. Yeah, we're creating a lot of it, but I hope the listeners can keep up, and I hope that we can keep up, but so far.
And if somebody out there wants to track it for us, please do so.
Yes, please.
We'll list you as like a producer. We'll list you as a producer or something.
Yeah, we're throwing those out like candy right now.
Yeah, we'll send you a postcard from New York or Minnesota.
we'll get a bunch of Laguna Beach things from Amazon, not a sponsor, and send them.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right, I think we've talked about the girls of the show enough in this episode, even though we were light on Kristen, but I think it's time for a little change of pace. You know what time it is?
I believe it is Trey Talk! Trey Talk! Trey Talk!
It's time for Trey Talk. So let's talk about Trey.
Yeah. There wasn't much Trey.
Not a lot.
Other than I just love that whole scene. That it was just like, you know, bros broing down, yeah, being that bros.
That was probably the most relatable scene of all time, because I have done that with my, like, just horsing around and having fun.
Yeah, prank calling, punching people, maybe a pillow fight, and somebody stubs their toe, and then
party's over. Dieter.
And, and of course it's like Dieter who stubs his toe.
Yeah, I was not surprised. I was like, did you step on your stupid cologne?
Dumbass.
But
and then I mean, once again, we got a little bit of Polster too. A
little bit.
Yeah.
Speaking of Polster, I know this is Trey Talk, but Polster is forever associated with Trey, and I think I have a law of Polster theory coming up.
Okay. And is it theory too, like gravity? Or like it's three almost laws certain. Of Newton, the Newton laws.
Yeah, it's almost as certain, but the law of Polster holds up again this week. There were two get-together scenes.
Yep.
The first one was the Joe's Crab Shack scene. At first look, you know, it looked really fun. People got numbers, people were dancing. Nice little conversation at the end. But you know what? Elsie and Lowe still got hurt.
Yeah, somebody's feelings were hurt after
that. Someone's
feelings
were hurt. And so, no Polster, someone got hurt. Again, the off Polster. And the second get-together was the guys' night, and they looked like they were having fun, and Dieter's stub toe doesn't count because he's Dieter. And bad things just happened to that guy. Law of Dieter.
Yeah, and it was just a stub toe. It's not like... It's not like somebody's feelings got hurt, which is more of an emotional, and it's a deeper cut.
Mm-hmm.
A stub toe is a stub toe.
I mean, that might be. Right now, it's at the theory of Dieter, that every time we see him, something just goes slightly wrong.
Something breaks.
Just an inconvenience for Dieter altogether, and I'm enjoying it.
What, the law of Polster?
Obviously, but also the theory of Dieter. Dieter's theory.
Dieter's theory.
Yeah, so we'll keep a watch out for that too.
I'm hoping, like, I don't know, some, like, a door breaks and Dieter just is like standing there. He just opens it up and a door like smashes.
Or he like walks in through like a screen door or something.
Yeah.
Just classic slapstick stuff.
Classic law of Dieter.
All right, so is that it for Trey Talk? Is it a short week for Trey Talk this week? Not a lot there.
Yeah, I mean, once again, still rocking his. Mm-hmm. Trucker hats.
Yep.
I didn't see any of the belts on the arm, but it's casual night in.
Yep.
And then other than that, I mean, and then Polster, I think he had some good words to live by where, like, he was just like, love one each other.
Was he high?
I don't know. He definitely could have been. I mean, do you see Dieter have, like, 10 solo cups?
Yeah.
Where's he going with that?
That's a lot of Orange Crush.
Oh, it's a lot of pop.
Yeah, it's a lot of pop.
Yeah, got a sugar high. That's why they're all whooping and hollering.
Yeah, that's why it was like really dead. Like after they all just sugar crash after Dieter stubbed his toe, that was like the signal for. But yeah, so yeah, I mean, again, law of Polster still holds. Theory of Dieter is coming to life, and Trey being Trey.
Yeah. Still good. I like the little bits that we get. don't need a full episode ever. We don't need Trey full episode, but just, you know, at least seeing what he's up to. A little pop-in.
Yeah, he's making the most out of his airtime among everyone. He's efficient with his airtime.
Yeah, I think I'm glad with my season, beginning of the season pick of why I picked Trey. Yeah. I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I support that.
I was a little nervous. I was a little nervous to be in the first episode, but it really came around.
Yeah. Okay, so we cannot move on to our games without talking about the New York City trip.
Yeah.
And Christina's...
What the hell was that?
All right, you go first.
All right.
Christina's audition is what we're talking about, people.
Yeah. And, well, a little before that is, one, I don't think I mean, I guess that maybe I lived on the East Coast, but, like, the first thing in mind to go on spring break wouldn't be New York City.
Yeah, but that might be your East Coast bias, because I did also go to New York for my spring break once.
Yeah, and then just, like, live... Yeah, but, yeah. But was it a class trip, though?
It started off as one, and then I stuck around for another week.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it was a summer trip, never mind, not a spring break.
Oh, two different things.
Oh, okay. Spring break, I was watching wrestling and eating fast food. All right, sorry.
I was probably working. I don't know how they took off 4 days from work. That's money that you could have made.
I mean, if you have those kinds of connections in Broadway, you can afford 4 days at the W in Times Square.
Yeah, you got to take your shot.
Yeah.
Before we get, I mean, well, the big part of it is Christina's amazing audition.
Yep.
But did you notice what restaurant they went into to eat?
I
think it was a Ruby Tuesdays.
So I saw the Ruby Tuesday signs from the sky shot, but I wasn't sure if they were eating in the Ruby Twos.
Like the doors look pretty familiar. It's either that or in definitely wasn't the Olive Garden.
No.
And it looked like the Ruby Tuesdays, and they were sitting by the salad bar.
Okay, so let me just give context for people listening on why we're very specific with this Ruby Tuesdays. And that was because when we were poor college students, or not poor, but, you know, we were being typical college students, yeah. You know, whenever we could scrape, like, $25 together, our special occasion would be going out to Times Square and grabbing some Ruby Tuesdays.
Yeah, because the French fries were all you can eat.
And so was any kind of lemonade was also all you could drink.
Yeah, it was delicious.
So shout out to Ruby Tuesdays, not a sponsor, but again, if you wanna.
I'll take some coupes.
Oh, same. But yeah, so, sorry, you were saying?
Yeah, those are a couple of things I wanted to, like, little tidbits I wanted to bring up. Okay. But yeah, Christina's audition, she was so shook.
Yes.
When she got there. Yes. And, like, I know this is a big move.
Right.
But it doesn't help when your friends are like, oh, what are you going to do? Like, this is, like, your jumping off point. Like, this is your big break.
Right.
Clearly you're not good. Like, it was bad. It was bad.
Yeah, okay. Yes. All
right. I'm not a singer, so I shouldn't have a right to judge. But I'm assuming,
I mean, you have ears, but sorry.
Yeah, but I'm assuming that, like, maybe she's done plays in high school.
Right. In a
she
small
said
town.
She has a voice coach.
Yep.
Whew. And you're coming in with that? Like, that's some weak stuff.
Especially for Rent, which is on, like, its third year and still going strong. Wicked, which was probably just out then, and then Hairspray, which was also going strong.
Big shows.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I got you a tryout for the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the San Francisco Giants, and then you just strike out, I guess.
Like, you show up, and they, like, look at you, and they're like, oh. Ugh.
Yep. Ugh.
It was bad. In the song choice, they kind of poked fun at it.
Uh-huh.
Manny Moore's Only Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she didn't know. Like, do you, on auditions, do you pick full songs, or do you pick like clips from Broadway shows?
I'll come in with my take now to piggyback off that, because it'll relate. So yes, the song choice was weird, particularly since this is Broadway, and I would... So on one hand, I would have thought that she would have just taken the safe bet and picked, like, a song, like Memories from Cats, or just a more traditional Broadway song. But at the
more
same
like
time...
Street Alley Cat, am I right?
Oh, jeez. The claws coming out from Sam this week.
Just yeah.
Hating on Christina. Just a couple of haters over here.
Well, she's rude. She was rude.
Okay, so, yeah, but I'm thinking because she probably heard that song from A Walk to Remember, and that was, like, a play within the movie when she sang that. So maybe she thought it counted. So that's one theory of why she chose that. And then the second one was because Rent, I guess only Rent, but Rent in particular isn't, like, a traditional Broadway score. It's a lot more rock, a lot more pop.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why she picked that, knowing that she might be going out for Rent. So those are my theories on why she picked that song. But yeah, bad song choice. Okay, so bad song choice. The person casting, and I've been in several castings, not for Broadway, obviously, but for smaller things. Yeah, you get like 8 bars, 16 if you're lucky. So that's like a little bit of a verse in some of the chorus.
Yeah, and what I don't get is the director was saying, she told her on the phone, was like, come in with like, you got to have a character and like really get involved in a character. But how do you do that? Like, do you just got to make up your own character then? If you're auditioning for a specific play like Wicked or Rent,
right?
Like, you could come in with something like that. If she doesn't know what she's going into, how do you like you tailor or either that or you got to tailor it to a general thing and just make up your own character?
Yeah, especially when, I mean, again, this goes, now I think she thought that Only Hope counted because it was a play within a play, so maybe she was trying to play Mandy Moore's character. I'll have to watch back that scene in the movie if she was trying to do that scene.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it sounded like, okay, just from like a structure perspective, she already shot herself in the foot by, I don't know if they just edited it to come in, but it seemed like the pianist came in at this time, but she started off at the crescendo. Bridge, at the bridge.
Okay.
And the bridge for that song goes, this is going to be like super nerdy and probably people who are much smarter than me are going to yell at me. But she's coming in the, I'm giving you all of me. I'm giving you blah, blah, blah. I want your symphony. And then I know she was doing that so she can hit the high note.
Yep.
But the thing about that song is once you hit the high note, the I'm giving it back part, it doesn't go to the original key of the chorus. It changes keys like a half step. And she was singing the original key, which like really threw me off. And I was like, oh my God, Christina, come on.
So like it was so bad.
She sang like the first 2 lines of the chorus in the original key and then picked it up because she was just sounding flat the whole time.
Yeah.
And yeah, no vibrato, just not... I'm not going to say it's awful.
Okay.
Because that's unfair because I know how nerve-wracking things like that
can
be. But just objectively, or I guess subjectively, but it was not the traditional Broadway voice is what I'm going to say.
All right, yeah. It was, I mean...
I'm glad she found something else.
Yeah, and I was just like, ugh, dang, that's a bummer.
Yeah,
shout out to MTV for, like, digging the knife even deeper, and as, like, the show's ending, they just played, like, her, like, the high note again. Just, like, dug it in there.
Sorry, I laughed so hard my earphones fell off.
They just...
Straight savage.
Yeah. They just like slice and diced her, straight up murdered.
Oh man, I wonder if they like gave her a heads up like before.
I don't know, probably not. It's MTV. All
right, okay. Now I feel bad. You know what? I'm gonna before I have to wait for next week for a formal apology. I already apologized, Christina, but you gave me your best shot, and I'm sorry if that sounded mean. But you know, this is for entertainment purposes only.
Well, she had her high notes and low notes throughout this episode.
Oh, man. Okay. We have gone
set up perfectly.
Far.
Oh, God. Okay, that was a good time to take another break, and then we're going to come in hot with a surprise segment. It's time to throw away. Throw away our troubles to the skies. It's time to throw away. Throw away our troubles to the skies. Time after time I've heard you ask, will ever say word. You know what? Let's kick this segment off with our MVP of the week.
MVP
of the week. That's something new.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. So for three straight weeks, and just to our listeners, we don't talk about who our MVPs are every week, and it's just turned out that we've had the same one every week. So we're going to try a little experiment this time. And I'm going to count to three, and on three, we're going to both say who our MVPs of the week are. And I bet you, since we're going to do this, it's going to be different. But you know what? Again, it's for entertainment. So, on three. So after three, we'll say it.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
One, two, three. Lauren's Gary. Dad.
Oh. Dang.
I knew this would happen. Called it. It's Gary.
It's the boy at Morgan's party. Kristen's friend.
Oh, okay.
He was so funny. He was like help writing the note.
Yep.
He was the kingpin. He was the first one to get up and dance at Joe's Crab Shack and get on the table. Uh-huh. I thought he was the MVP. He was basically the party.
Yeah. He was the closest thing to Polster at that party.
Yeah. I mean, I was between Lauren's dad, Jim and Gary, and I thought, because we didn't talk about Gary, you're going to throw him out there. Well, but
I got nervous when you brought up Elsie's dad earlier.
Ah, crap. I was going to say, I should have won with the safe pick.
Oh, all right. Never mind. So for the first time, obviously, when we try to sync our answers, we get split ones. But yeah, mine was Lauren's dad, just for regulating and for all the reasons we talked about earlier about how him and Lauren's mom, you know what? Co-MVPs of the week, Lauren's parents.
Yeah. Just parents all around.
Yeah.
Here's to you.
Yeah. All right. All right. All right. We haven't clapped for anyone yet this episode. So yeah. So apologies, Christina, that you are not either of our MVPs of the week, but you know what? You gave it your best shot. I'm still trying to like overcorrect her being so mean to her.
Yeah, well, she'll get over it.
Yeah, I'm sure she's fine. But yeah, speaking of Christina, I was wondering, since this episode was all about her, I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit of where she is now and what she's up to.
Yeah, sure. So I did a little bit of research. Well, she was always, you know, as we saw, was really trying to get into the stage performance industry. Mm-hmm. But it turns out that now she's on Healthy Living. She has her own website called Beach Babe Fitness, where it's exercising and diet tips.
Yep.
She's back in Laguna Beach, okay. Certified instructor, and she gave birth to her first child,
aww,
Christian Sutton, in May 2014.
Nice. Congrats.
But yeah, so she seems like she's doing pretty well, and maybe everybody should go and check out Beach Babe Fitness, and since it's the beginning of 2017, new year, everybody's probably got gym memberships.
Yeah.
Maybe we should get out there and work on our beach babes.
Yeah, so hopefully this plug makes up for the previous segment, Christina, but yeah, everyone go check out beachbabefitness.com. You can also follow at Beach Babe Fitness on Twitter and Instagram, and Christina Sinclair on Instagram. So,
boom.
Yeah, there you go, Christina. Hope we're cool.
Yeah, so, Marnie, you were discussing earlier that we wanted to kind of change it up from last week, mm-hmm, and you kind of came up with this new game
revolving, yes,
around musicals and plays.
Yeah, so in keeping with the Broadway theme of this episode,
I thought it would be fun if we created a Laguna Beach Season 1 play or musical and just tell our listeners who, like, what it would be called, who we would cast as our main characters, as well as what the big finale or theme song would be for the show. So you want to go?
Yeah, sure. So let's start off with, so the title of my musical slash play would be called Cracks in the Sand.
Whoa. Deep.
Yep. And I'll explain a little bit more about the whole concept behind my musical and play when we start talking about the casting.
Okay.
So what did you kind of pick as your title?
So mine would be, actually, no, let's finish yours and then.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, so the concept behind Cracks in the Sand is The Wiz-esque type play. So for Steven, I picked Michael B. Jordan.
Okay.
And then LC, I'm going to go with Lupita Nyong'o.
Okay.
Kristen, maybe a Zoe Saldana.
Okay. So a little bit older of a cast.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of young kids, but
okay.
Yeah, maybe an older cast. And then I was thinking of having, as for my Dieter, would be Omar Epps. I mean, I'm a big fan of Omar Epps.
I'm just imagining him, like, bumbling around and stubbing his toe.
Yeah, it's great.
Thinking more like Tyler Perry or, like, Tracy Morgan. If we were going to go with, like, a bumbling guy.
No, Omar Epps.
Okay.
And then for their big, the big song, similar to our, like a Seasons of Love.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking of Black Eyed Peas from 2005. Don't Funk With My Heart.
Whoa! Nice.
Which was like, it's like perfect where they're like, no, yep. no, don't funk with my heart. I think it's really good because they kind of like, oh.
I'll watch
it. And Steven's talking about like trying to get all these ladies, and then all the ladies are like, don't mess with my heart. And that's kind of what we're getting.
Yep.
Yeah, so you want to give me your rundown?
Sure. So if you'll indulge me for a second, I'll set up the concept of my show, and then it leads into the title.
Okay.
Okay, so I wanted to play with sort of the duality of everyone on the show. So you know how we keep talking about we're not sure who the good guys are, who the bad guys are?
Yep.
And it's just really a good indication of the high school experience, where you're really confused on, are you my real friend? Are you my frenemy? Are we just showmancing? Stuff like that. So I wanted to capture that and not really position anyone as being good guys or bad guys. So this entire play is going to be called No Such Thing, : The Untold Story of Laguna Beach Through the Music of John Mayer. Because who is the ultimate, oh, is he like cool or is he a big douche? It's John Mayer.
Yeah, true.
So
who'd be cast? Okay.
So my main three characters are Steven, Elsie, and Kristen. So Steven will be played, and I'm hoping he can do an American accent, but I'm picking Zayn Malik.
Nice.
Yeah, because, you know, I wanted to
get... They look very similar.
I wanted to get someone who could be clean cut, but also has a dark side.
Yeah, smart.
All right, Elsie would be Selena Gomez. Because you have your like cute and bubbly, but also can be a little bit of an introvert.
Yep.
And has some depth to her. And then Kristen, I'm picking Zendaya. Because
nice.
I think she can pull off like the big, beautiful bombshell, but maybe has like a hidden super intelligent side to her.
I like that.
Yeah, and then my one minor character would be Lo, and I will pick Ashley Tisdale circa High School Musical for her.
We got a time machine.
Yeah. Okay, and then the song. So I actually picked three songs. So Steven's song, his big solo, is I Don't Trust Myself With Loving You.
Well, I don't even know what that song is.
Oh, it's from, I believe it's from Continuum.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think the title says it for itself. I Don't Trust Myself With Loving You. So just playing with his emotion of dealing with all these girls around him.
Yep.
And then Elsie and Kristen are going to have a duet, to Heartbreak Warfare.
Nice.
And changing that meaning from coming from one person's perspective to two people singing about one person. And I don't know what the ending's going to be, but, you know, just sort of tossing it up. Is Steven really the prize here, or should they be doing stuff for themselves? We don't know. And then, like, the big song that the three of them are singing would be Half of My Heart by John Mayer featuring Taylor Swift.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I like that. I'll go see that, too.
Yeah. You know, get some John Mayer. Get some
sweet vibe. We'll wear, like, some giant hats and just vibe out.
And some belts on our arms. All right. So let us know who you would cast in your own Laguna Beach play. Again, you know how it is, at Coming Clean Pod, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or you can use hashtag Laguna Beach Musical to let us know who you would cast and what your show would be about. And with that, we're going to play another game after this quick musical break.
And we are back for today in history.
History, 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 history.
It's your favorite game, everyone. Today in history. So today for history, we're talking about the original air date of October 19th, 2004. I'm going to ask Marty 5 questions on stuff that happened that day. And we'll alternate weeks going back and forth, as you already know. And the current score right now are Sam 6 and Marty 2. So, Marty, are you ready to make up some ground?
I hope so, because I can actually potentially tie this up today. So, let's do it!
Yeah, I think I had a tough time finding some questions, but we'll see.
Slow news day.
Yes, very slow. Very. Alright, ready for number 1.
Let's do it!
This team beat the Yankees to tie the series in the ALCS 3-3, eventually going on to be world champs and the greatest team to ever exist. Who is this team?
Well, I think it's clear now that we are in the dog days of summer. Oh no, it's October. Never mind. But in a pretty slow sports year, because this is the third time that the Boston Red Sox are going to be the answer to this question. So it's the Red Sox.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
You're on the board.
Yes.
All right. Number 2. On this day, Margaret Hassan was kidnapped in Iraq. She was an aid worker for the blank international team. This team was also a bunch of bears.
A bunch of bears. The Bernstein Bears, Goldilocks and the Three Bears, Yogi Bear, Yogi Berra. Care Bears
is correct. Yeah. Care International was the team that you worked for.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Nice, good job.
Thank you.
And number 3. On this day, it was reported that there was an article about Martin Fontaine, who had been playing this hip shaker singer for the past 10 years. Who is this hip shaker singer?
Hip shaker singer. Is it Elvis Presley?
Correct.
Yeah!
That's 3 for 3 so far.
Nice.
All right, number 4. On this day, this blind guy had a movie about him premiere. Who is this blind guy?
I'm going to go with Ray Charles.
Correct. Ray premiered in the U.S. on this day. Last and final question, Marty. Are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
You can take the lead. This weight loss show premiered on this day in 2004, and everyone was a winner. What is this show?
I like the play on words, and that helped me a lot to narrow it down to celebrity wit. No, just kidding. The Biggest Loser.
Yeah.
Yes.
He takes the lead.
Wow, that was going up against Laguna Beach.
Yeah, it was a big thing. A lot of premieres. I don't know how people split their time between Ray premiere and watching The Biggest Loser.
No DVRs then either.
True. Goodness. People actually had to probably flip back and forth.
Yeah. All right, so I took the lead?
Yeah, you're in the lead.
All right, so next week you will try to reclaim your throne. You know what? You know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing the go-home queue. So we're going to come back with some recommendations and wrap this baby up. All right, welcome back. This is the man with the lead in the trivia game, Marty. And yo, Sam, I've been digging this music. Who is this by?
That song you've been hearing was Better Days by Alan Stewart from their album Honesty. You can listen to more from this album on Bandcamp, CD Baby, and most streaming services. Links will be in the podcast description.
Sweet. And we were doing this last week, and I think we should keep it going. Do you have any recommendations for our listeners?
Yeah, I do, actually. It's a little food news. Ooh. A little food for the foodies out there.
Lovely.
And that is, everybody should go out and get some Malto Meal Dino Rocks. They are the best cereal to ever exist.
Oh my god.
If you like Cocoa Krispies and right, if you like Cocoa Krispies and Pebble chocolate pebbles, they're both in there together, and it's cheaper and it tastes better. And if you like chocolate milk, your cereal milk will be chocolate. So go out and get some.
All right, I was not expecting that, but
yeah. Do you have any recommendations?
I do, and I'm going to stick with a theme just to tie a bow on this, but I will recommend for everyone to go and check out Miss Saigon, which is back on Broadway starting March 1st of this year. So tickets start at $39, so that's a really good price for Broadway, especially considering probably Hamilton's next door or something that where you're going to have to pay an arm and a leg. But yeah, I've seen this at a previous production. One of my favorite plays, musicals. It's one of the heavyweights on Broadway, so I'm glad it's back. I'll probably have to make a trip to New York for this.
Great. Maybe I should check that out. Yeah, thank you for that recommendation.
Yeah, $39, man. And we both recommend BeachBabeFitness.com by Christina Sinclair. Again, you can find her at BeachBabeFitness.com. Or at Beach Babe Fitness on Instagram and Twitter, or at Christina Sinclair if you just want to follow her little Instagram that features pictures of her cute baby.
Yeah, I already feel my waist slimming as it is.
I'm gonna need some help with this. You know what? I'm gonna try to see what Beach Babe Fitness has to offer, and I'm gonna keep drinking some green juice from LaurenConrad.com, and we'll be living the Laguna Beach lifestyle in no time.
Yeah, you get a little spray tan, we're all good to go.
All right, and speaking of good to go, really getting the go-home cue now from my imaginary producer. So before we go, as always, find us at Coming Clean Pod on Twitter, Facebook, Medium, Instagram, everywhere. Hashtag Coming Clean Pod if you want to just reach us. You can also support us on Patreon for as little as $1 a month, and you will get exclusive content, postcards, prizes, etc., etc., Patreon.com/ComingCleanPod. If you're shy or want to reach us directly, whether for business or shoutouts or hate mail, sure, we'll take it. Coming.clean.pod@gmail.com. And as always, subscribe to the podcast. Rate us. It really helps. Leave a comment. Do all that good stuff. It helps our ranking on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom, or wherever you get your podcast. And we are running way over time, so I'm just going to wish everyone some worldwide peace.
And see you get degrees.
All right, later.